As I said earlier, I don't have my notebook for the first time in over 5 years here. So y'all bear with me. I know some preachers preach with this iPad stuff, but I never have. I said maybe one time. So yeah, I don't love it, but prayer's appreciated nonetheless. I'm gonna move this out of the way a little bit here. If you say the words conservative radio to most young people today, and if you do that, they'll likely come up with names like Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck, and those guys are the offspring of the industry's grandfather. Okay, one who told stories more often than he raised his voice, and who narrated history and the present to a generation of young listeners. His name was Paul Harvey. And his gentle storytelling program was a launching pad for an entire cast of well-known faces today. With the conservative movement and just things, but just but how. Paul Harvey was a delightful history teacher and had a velvety voice that turned the news into narrative entertainment each week on his famous segment, The Rest of the Story. All right. For more than 3 decades, from the 1970s to his death in 2009, Paul Harvey would address his millions of listeners 6 days a week, giving them the backstory to people, things, and events, both famous and not so known. And then he'd say, "Paul Harvey, good day." All right, for those who remember. All right, so and kind of keep that in mind. It's just I thought it would be interesting to note that it's going to go with my central statement. But for those who were here last week, and if you weren't here, now you're part of it. Now you have to, I think the bylaws somewhere say that once you come once, you have to do all the homework that we assign. So last week I assigned homework to read Genesis 2. All right, you don't have to raise your hand, all right, but you're supposed to read Genesis 2. Okay, all right. Homework for this week: read Genesis 3. All right, don't worry, it's not going to be every single chapter in the Bible, and not going to take us 10 years or anything. But through this. But if you are new, we've started a series called Unfolding Grace, and it's kind of like a big picture view from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Okay, and so we looked at creation story last week, part one, and today we're looking at part two. And from time to time, I'm going to read just a little bit from Crossway's publication of The Unfolding Grace, which has the Bible text in it, but also some added commentary. And so, kind of like get everybody kind of caught up on one page here. Just want to read some of this from page 9. It says, "The Bible's opening words direct us to the very beginning of the story of the world. In these first chapters, we learn how God creates all things and makes humanity in His image. We learn how He has made us to enjoy His presence and to reflect His goodness by ruling over His world. We learned that originally there was no sin, suffering, or sadness. Everything was very good." We talked about that last week. "Okay, humanity was in right relationship with God, with one another, and with the creation itself. This is a picture of shalom, peace, universal flourishing, harmony, and happiness. But the story also shows the fall of humanity into sin." And we're going to look more at that next week. But I just want to kind of give you kind of a glimpse there. All right. And so last week, and I think it's going to be up there, Miss Rhonda. Again, like I mentioned earlier, without a notebook, Miss Rhonda suffers because she doesn't have, I didn't have a copy to give her for her to follow along with me. And it's hard enough to follow along with me when she has a paper. She doesn't have a paper today. So please give her grace today. All right. Speaking about grace. So this was last week. If you missed last week, shame on you. I'm just playing. But if you missed, here it was. In the creation account of Genesis 1, God spoke things into existence. He saw that His creation was good, very good. He shaped man in His own image, and He set man apart as special. Okay. And today, we're going to look at the rest of the story. All right. Tip of a hat to Paul Harvey. All right. And so today's central statement is in the rest of the creation story. All right. We see some... Well, the words that start with the letter L. So, Miss Dolores, I'm just adding to my card, like bonus points, bonus points, bonus points on my Baptist preaching card. So, in the rest of the creation story, we see let up, we see labor, limits, loneliness, life, and a command to leave. And I'll tell you, it is one that's kind of all over the place as far as, maybe not a common theme, but there's a lot going on in this, and I still hope that and pray that God will use it to bring glory to himself. Amen. And if you'll do the same as I preach, I appreciate it. So number one is let up. And what I mean by let up is kind of like what I might tell Casey and the guys as we play or whatever is don't let up. You know, don't rest. All right. We have a lead. In fact, I think one of the hardest things to do as a coach, and Coach Mitchell, it might be the same in football, is when you have a lead, okay, in the third quarter, fourth quarter, you have a pretty good lead, 20-point lead, and you're trying to maintain that. It's hard. It's hard to try to bring your guys in and say, hey, it's 0-0, all right? It's 0-0. Play like it's 0-0. But they're like, Coach, we're up by 20. Yeah, I know. Play like a 0-0. You know, and so don't let up until we have this game put away, right? And so rest is so important these days, right? I mean, we are weary, we're worn out people, we're extremely busy. My daughter told me that just this past Friday, that I think she said Thursday, she went to sleep on the floor. Am I right, Kaylin? Okay. We won't say what class that was. I think it was one of her online classes, so you know, don't judge or anything. I think she said went to sleep laying on the floor, right? And then I think with Bruce and them here, when Brad was born, Bruce and I slept on the little couch pull out thing there in the hospital. So if you're tired, you're asleep anyway, right? Let's go ahead and get into it. We may not necessarily go verse for verse today, again, we'll get right into it. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed this work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. So first thing that I need to clarify is that God wasn't tired. Okay? All right, he wasn't tired. It means that he ceased from working because it was done. It was complete. Okay, everything was done. In fact, the word used here for rest was alluded to earlier in what I read is Shabbat. Okay, which we'll kind of allude to it there, but which is Shabbat, which gets partially translated into the English word Sabbath. So what is Shabbat? Okay, so this word simply means to stop working. Think of an hourly job where you clock out at the end of your shift, the work is done, and there's no more until you clock back in. Okay, so you clock out, right, Brad, and done. Okay, clock out 5 o'clock, whatever. Of course, you can probably leave at 3 and get away with it, right? I'm just playing. But you know, he's God is still working. He isn't tired. He's not tired. Observe, I want to point that out. John 5:16-17, this says, therefore the Jews began persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Jesus responded to them, my Father is still working and I'm working also. Like, I'm not done, okay? God's still at work, okay? God the Father's at work, I'm still at work. Psalm 121:4, I just love this verse. It says, indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. Okay, God doesn't sleep. Now, we can preach that. You know, I could probably take a dirt road there for a while, but God doesn't sleep. Okay, even when we think he may be asleep at the wheel, he's not. Okay, he sees us, he hears us. Amen. So God the Father, God Almighty does not slumber or sleep. He does, however, gives us an example to follow. He gives us an example to follow. The other main Hebrew word for rest is used in the Hebrew scriptures is nuach. Okay, N-U-A-K-H, if you're taking notes, N-U-A-K-H. And this means to dwell or settle. So stay with me, okay? This is not the same as clocking out from an hourly job, right? This type of rest is like sitting in front of a fire with a loved one, okay, or unpacking a suitcase to stay at grandma's house for the holidays or whatever. You know, just and again, it's just appropriate, I think, as I think of being at Mac and Mia's house and the fire outside, and just, you know, and I think we all agree that's just always a great time. We're just out there just hanging out, and you're just like, man, this is so nice. I could just stay here forever, right? It's that type of thing. A young lady named Missy Takano says, Sabbath rest is an invitation to practice for eternity in God's presence. It is an act of regular and intentional trust of God's rule on earth. And this part I really, really love. We Shabbat in order to nuach, if you caught my definitions. When we stop working, we can truly rest in God's presence. Right? When we take a break, stop working, we can really truly rest in God's presence. She goes on to say, when we practice this purposeful pause, we make room for God to take up residence in our individual lives and communities. And when we do this, we take part in our new creation story, setting the stage for God to make his dwelling place once again on earth. Right? I think that's well said. The Sabbath points forward to the rest that Christ achieves with his resurrection and ascension that we're going to be looking more at in a few weeks, right, on Easter. Hebrews 10:12-13 says, "But this man, Jesus, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He is now waiting until his enemies are made his footstool." All right? So it's because his part is done. He rose from the grave. Amen. He died on the cross, rose from the grave. And as the ESV study Bible writers point out, which will be this right here, we just read, will be fully manifested in the consummation. Revelation 22:4-5 says, "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Okay, something to look forward to. I hope you were encouraged by those words and the words that Sally read earlier from Revelation 21. So in addition, this day for Christians is now on Sunday. I'm just going to go to verse 2 in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. All right, on the first day of the week. Okay, making sure that now we know as Christians that we meet on Sunday here, and then. We'll go to the next one, Miss Ron, again. Sorry all right, that you have to do this today. And while we may be free from the legal obligation of the Sabbath, I wanted to kind of also point that out. Okay, Colossians 2:16-17 says, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of festival, or new moon, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ." Now, to be clear, as Christians, we should want to be in the house of God. Okay. But there will be times when we might not make it, right? And I just wanted to clarify. Of course, if you're home and COVID is over, all right. So for those who's watching, all right, some of y'all still tell me, "I'm gonna come." They're still watching on Facebook. That's okay. We much better here in the building. But all right, we'll move on. But we should still note again that the importance of a day of rest, because God has designed it as such, right? We need rest. Wouldn't y'all agree? All right, we need rest. I'm going to get some rest this afternoon. I'll tell you that, okay? Give me a nap. Amen, Brother Brad. All right, okay. And we as Christians, every day is a day of rest and the finished work in Christ. All right, so I want to be encouraged taking this word rest and to mean different things. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience." We're going to kind of look at that later on, a little bit later. Boyce said, "God, having completed his work of creation, rests as if to say, this is the destiny of those who are my people, to rest as I rest, to rest in me." So rest is most certainly a blessing, but we can't rest forever. All right? Eventually, we rest up so we can work. Okay, so we'll go to the next point there. And again, if you're taking notes, try to get it quickly there. But it'll be up there a few more times. But the second thing is labor. We need to work. It's good for humans to work. All right, amen. I asked one time, it wasn't me, but this is a joke. Says I asked if I could leave work early the other day, and the boss said yes if I made up the time. And I said, sure, it's 14:20. Some of y'all get that later. All right, made up time, by the way. Okay, all right, I'll give you one more, just one more. Why did an employee get fired from a calendar factory? He took a day off. That, nothing. Okay, Bruce finally left. All right, okay, but work. Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it." Okay. But so productive work is part of God's purpose for man and creation. Notice that this happened before sin entered the world, right? We haven't done that part yet, right? That's next week. Okay? So let me just make sure we're clear on this, all right? That work is not part of the curse, okay? All right, work is not part of the curse. All right, and we'll look at that next week. But the toil and the struggle that we have with work, yes, that's part of it. Okay, the frustration I have with 129 seventh graders. Okay, all right, amen. It could be part of it, but the actual work part's not part of the curse. Okay, Genesis 2:8 says, "The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed a man he had formed." So the word for work here means serve. He was to care for the garden, to protect it, to do the work there. Elsewhere, a couple more places, and if you've ever come on a Labor Day weekend, and you've heard these verses for sure then, all right, but Proverbs 12:11 says, "The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense." Okay, Second Thessalonians 3:10 says, in fact, when we are with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. So be very, very careful that if you have the ability to work, you need to be working. Okay. We have talked about this before, but to work is a blessing. And I thank God for this gift that he gave us way back with Adam in the garden. You know, while I didn't always love it growing up, right, Aaron? Okay, having to pick up tobacco leaves from age 5 behind a harvester. All right, I didn't always love it. I appreciate that I lived in a time where one could work, even if you weren't 16 during the summer. All right, and I think that's something. That's a whole other commentary on our world today. But man, you just work, man. It was, you know, and then you got old enough to, you know, to make a little money, because y'all heard that story before. I was, you know, I'd be in line, lined up on Friday to get my money like everybody else from daddy, and then he'd say, "No, son, your money will be on the dinner table tonight." And I, like I said before, I'm like, at night, like, I wanted to do that. I didn't, because I'd be scared to death to do it. But I was thinking it. I was thinking it. My smart aleck self was thinking it. All right. And I was like, man, you said it was going to be underneath the table. Is it somewhere else? I don't see it, Daddy. Anyway. All right. But work is a blessing. So within this blessing, a command to Adam to work the garden, God told him that he couldn't eat from one particular tree. Right? He was setting limits and was about to give Adam a choice. And so I'm trying to connect the different things that happened here. But that would be the next thing we look at. Okay, so in the rest of the creation story, we see let up, labor, limits, loneliness, life, and a command to leave. Okay? So anyone familiar with this song? All right. No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. Anybody? Rolling Stones? You can't always get what you want, but if you try, sometimes you'll find you get what you need. Okay, anybody familiar with the song? All right, okay. So kind of a strange song, but there's some truth there. And it's a strange song, by the way. All right, sorry, I'm not trying to bash on, you know, people. That was more their time. But we do need limits, and we can't just have everything we want. So Genesis 2:16-17 says, "And the Lord God commanded a man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." Like, everything else you can have, but that one, okay? And what, you know what's going to eventually happen there, okay, why I said that. But it makes me think of Spider-Man, you know, the original one, you know, with great power comes responsibility, you know. But they had power. They had all this freedom, all the freedom in the world. I could eat from anything, just not that one, okay? I want to be very clear there. So Adam enjoyed freedom and limits here. Right? So, he was free to eat of every tree of the garden but one. Okay? So, there's a limit there. So, imagine a football game, Coach Mitchell, without rules. Can you imagine how crazy it would be? All right, we'd just be hitting people with helmets and, you know, and whatever you can. Of course, some of that happens anyway. but imagine you could. Well, that's a whole other commentary. High school was about to get crazy. My mom sent me a thing about the NIL at the high school level now. Oh, goodness. Anyway, but imagine a football game without rules. And in the same way as Tony Evans puts it, boundaries in our spiritual walk helps us live the way God intended. Ignoring God's boundaries always ends in death. So be very, very careful. In other words, Adam, as a creature of free will, had a choice. You have a choice, and so do we. David Gusick said, God wants our love and obedience to him to be the love and obedience of choice. Not because, you know, I'm adding to this now, not because God made you love him, but you have the choice to love him, right? The Israelites were given a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Stay with me. It's a little long passage of scripture here, but I just think it's so appropriate. It says, this command that I give you today, this is Moses speaking, it's certainly not too difficult or beyond your reach. It is not in heavens that you have to ask who will go up to heaven, get it for us, and proclaim it to us so that we may follow it. It's not too hard for even somebody like me to get, okay? And it's not across the sea that you have to ask who will cross the sea, get it for us, and proclaim it to us so that we may follow it. But the message is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may follow it. See, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess. I mean, isn't that worthy of pursuing, right? But if your heart turns away and you do not listen, you are led astray to bow and worship other gods and serve them. I tell you today that you will certainly perish and will not prolong your days in the land you are entering to possess across the Jordan. This is before they got to the Jordan, to the promised land. I call heaven and earth, listen to verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Love the Lord your God, obey him, and remain faithful to him, for he is your life, and he will prolong your days as you live in the land the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look, guys, it's going to be tough and all, but choose life. Choose me. Keep choosing me. All right? With limits. You can't have everything. You can't always get what you want. Okay? All right? But sometimes you get what you need. All right? And so what we need is Christ. Amen. So also Joshua 24 verse 15 says, but if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship. The gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. May that be your prayer and your cry, your heart's cry. And we could change the wording of that as far as, apply it, necessarily change it. Not only change scripture, but to apply it to our lives today, choose for yourselves today which will you worship. You know, we worship the God of self-worship now, with all the social media and doing, or are we going to be like every other family? Are we going to do this? What are we going to do? You know, we're going to neglect the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, or are we going to choose him? So I hope we can say, as for me and my family, we'll worship the Lord. Amen. See? God wants us to choose him. And God also knew that we needed companionship. So if you are taking notes again, all right, we should be done right around 12, okay? I said that last week. I can't keep going back to that joke every week, right? Okay, you're supposed to be amen when Jimmy's not here. So, yeah. All right. Loneliness. It said, and this is a recent survey, or study of some kind. It's actually a survey by Meta Gallup. It says nearly one in four adults across the world have reported feeling very or fairly lonely. The new survey taken across 142 countries found 24% of people aged 15 and older self-reported feeling very or fairly lonely in response to the question, how lonely do you feel? The survey also found that the rates of loneliness were highest in young adults, with 27% of young adults ages 19 to 29 feeling that way. The lowest rates were found in older adults, okay, and only 17% of people aged 65 and older reported feeling lonely. Interesting. But while being alone for brief times can be a good thing, loneliness is not. Okay. Let's read the verses 18 through 20. So then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. We are made for community. Right. It's just yesterday I went with Mr. Richard Sally's dad. We went to Fat Belly's for breakfast. All right. I had to go to a track meet in Gainesville, so that was part of the deal. I had to do that. Okay. All right. Then we played nine holes of golf with him. But while he was at Fat Belly's, because he used to work at PCS, man, he knew like everybody in the building. You know, normally it's me who know people, but this time it was him, and I was like, now we're eating, some man comes talk to us, and literally, like, I ate almost my whole breakfast while that man was talking to him, and then, like, he looked at me and said, oh, I gotta eat, I'm done. Anyway, but anyway, it was kind of funny. It was fun, but both Mr. Richard and the guy he was talking to said that, because they're both retired, said they don't necessarily miss the work there, but they miss the people. And so just at the softball game, at the middle school softball game the other night, I saw Greg Taylor. He was the girls' coach. And I love Greg, and every time I see him, I'm like, and we talked, and of course I wasn't paying attention to the game by the end because I'm talking. I know that surprises you, brother-in-law, but it was just great, and we just kept saying what we miss is this. This is what we miss: relationships. You can keep, make that comment, people who keep thinking they don't need church, but they're lying to themselves, okay? They really are. Adam discovered that all these other animals, they're all the rest of the animals, like all of them, Is a kookaburra an animal? I don't even know. Right? Is that right? This is the word that came to my mind, Kaylin, kookaburra. Yeah? Okay, good. I did good. But all these animals, imagine naming that one kookaburra. All right? Pretty crazy. Anyway, because he named them. All right? Okay. But sorry, I chased that rabbit for a second. But, all those animals, they just weren't good enough in terms of curing his loneliness. All the animals in the world, right? The biggest zoo in the world. He even gave them names and it still didn't help. I mean, look, I love Skippy, okay? Yes, golf ball, all right, if you want to call him that, all right? Okay, all right? And I know y'all love yours, all right? Amen, boy spoiled, right? Right, Bruce? All right, listen, in all seriousness, though, I love them. I love those dogs, but they're not above humans, okay? They do need to be in their place, all right? So, notice how all the other animals were there for Adam, but they weren't enough. Okay? And we do. There are people in our world who get it twisted. Okay? I'm just, we have to admit that. Now, again, I love Skippy now. Don't get me wrong. Okay? All right? But, we get it twisted, and there's people who value, the lives of animals over an unborn child. Be very, very careful, okay? All right, as far as how we, what level of importance we put these animals at. But Adam needed a helper fit for him, and these animals just didn't cut it. A helper is one who supplies the strength in the area that is lacking in the helped. Okay, the term does not imply that the helper is either stronger or weaker than the one helped. Right? Fit for him. Or matching him is not the same as like him. Like a wife is not her husband's clone, but complements him. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my wife is not just like me. Okay, there's differences there. Lord help us, we don't need another Patrick. Amen. You missed it, dude. If Jimmy was there, he'd have been so on that. Then where's Jimmy when we need him? He'd be like, Amen. All right. Listen to several translations for verse 18. And the original is, again, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. What the Amplified Version says, helper meet. And that means suitable, adapted, completing. The Living Translation says, a companion, a helper suited to his needs. Again, just listen. Just want you to listen. Beck says, a helper such as he needs. I like that one. All right. The Septuagint Bible, a helper correspondent to himself. NIV, New American Standard, a helper suitable. King James, a help meet for him. Right? It's a helper. And in that loneliness, God provided something for Adam, someone for Adam. And we will see that next. Okay, number five, life. So at this point, man was created and all the things but one amazing creation. Where I need a big amen from the men in the house. Okay, and had not yet been created or formed, and that's a woman. Okay, that was bad. For those who didn't get that, amen. Never mind. Okay, Miss Jan, you're really giving me a look today. All right. Genesis 2:21-23. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. In all seriousness, I could say a joke there, but it wouldn't be very good probably. But amen. But I do think it's pretty fascinating when you look at last week how he spoke things into existence. But this time he didn't. He took care, special care, right? He took a rib and from a man, and he formed a woman. This is important in terms of how men and women should relate to another in the context of marriage. When I do marriage counseling, I mention this. It says, Paul says in Ephesians 5, verses 28 through 30, in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it just as Christ does for the church. This is, we're members of his body. Observe that Eve was taken from Adam's side, not from his head, not from his feet. Right? I love, and I'm not going to, you know, be on this point for very long. I really do want to wrap it up soon. But I love what Matthew Henry, great Matthew Henry, said about this. He simply said, "Not made out of his head to top him, not out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved." I can't say it any better than that. Okay? So this is the way God designed it. One man with one woman. You know, you can say the old, you know, old saying from 20 years ago, it wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. But I'm going to say it anyway. All right. Some of y'all may have heard, never heard that one. All right? Well, I don't know where you were 20 years ago. We, you know, all right. Not one man with more than one woman. Not one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. All right. Okay. Amen. Okay. Let's be clear on that. It's like Mr. Tony Evans, and I said it before, you just check the plumbing. You know, it's not hard. Okay. All right. I probably should not have said that out loud. Okay. All right. Sorry. Mom is here. Okay. Forgive me. And whenever one meets the person he wants to marry or acquire, some leaving. Okay. And I'm not going to be on this one very long. I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. But the last one is a command to leave. If you are a male and you meet your mate, you leave your family. Okay. Now, verse 24 says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." And I realize this is a short point, but it's important nonetheless. And because actually, in early Hebrew culture, the families were rather large and stuck together and moved together. Okay, but I imagine it's still, you know, they had their tent too. Okay. This is the tent for me and my wife, okay? All right, and so it is different. And so I believe while nowadays it's much easier to physically leave, right, there's also an important element of leaving emotionally and mentally, okay? And I've seen situations and heard about them where there's a lot of strain on a marriage relationship because one of the partners kept allowing their parents into the relationship way too often. Okay, amen or oh me. Okay, and if you're that parent, stop. All right, but and make sure I don't do that as well when that happens, which will be 30 years from now. All right, she missed it. Oh, she didn't miss it. She's actually okay. All right, the other one's not paying attention. Okay, all right. She is. Love you. All right. Sorry, it's bad to have your dad be a pastor. All right, so you could actually say at this point. In the last verse of chapter 2, I want to look at that last part, Genesis 2:25, both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame. And that you can actually say because of that, that Adam and Eve were now living in paradise, right? And we're going to look at the fall next week. But remember, as we wrap up today, that God had already told Adam that he had a choice as far as what trees they could eat from, all right? And so I want to look at that today, all right, as we close out, all right? You know, because we have a choice today. We do. Choose God. And a simple question is, are you in need of rest? I am all the time. I need it, man. A mental and emotional rest. And I messed up last week terribly in one of my classes. Okay? All right? With what I said, and I had to apologize. Right? And God redeemed it. You know, 2 hours later, a student came by and said, "I just always appreciate that you always apologize when you mess up. Because I see that you're human." Right, but also see that you're trying to do better. You know, she didn't really say even at your age, but I think she implied it. Right? Just playing. But Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Is there? I can't think. I mean, this is definitely a sweet scripture, right? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Okay? And then realize that God, and I'm going to, you know, use my central statement to try to tie those words together, because I don't know if I did a great job the rest of the time, so I'll try harder now, because realize that God never let up in his pursuit of you. Never. He never let up in his pursuit of you. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "This is good and it pleases God our Savior." Listen, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? All means all. Okay, everyone means everyone, every single one. And again, I'm not going to go in my story too much there, but I couldn't even party and drink to get away from God. Okay, all right, he was at me and drinking in excess. Okay, is what I'm saying there. And it was like I couldn't get away from God, right? Because he was pursuing me. Okay, because he's not going to let up. Okay, he's going to keep coming after you. Right? He labored. right? He labors without limits. He doesn't let up. Okay, for those who wrote notes, you got me on that. And so that loneliness in your gut, okay, and I believe we all have it. There's a group called Plum, a band called Plum, who sang a song called God-Shaped Hole, you know, a long time ago. And I just think that's definitely appropriate. Okay? In fact, Paul refers to it when he's talking to the group in Athens. All right? He says in Acts 17, 27, 28, he notices all these things, all these monuments and to the unknown God and all this stuff, right? And he says God did this so that they might seek God. That they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He's not far from you, not as far as you think. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And so, that what you're feeling, that hole in your life, yeah, that's Jesus. That's who it is. Okay? Right, that loneliness in your life is Jesus. And then that you would have eternal life, speaking of life. Amen. John 3:16-17, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. So I've asked Sally and Mr. Lawrence come up. Now we come to a so what. So, all right, Brother Patrick, so what about that? Okay. Leave. You got to leave. You got to leave the life of sin and turn to Christ. And it's a matter, like I've said, you heard me say like every week, this is not rocket science. Praise God. It's not. It's just a matter of saying, Lord God, what you did by sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross all those years ago, okay, counts for me. Okay? All right, that counts for me. I believe that you died, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for me. I believe that. Okay? And I believe that my sin put him on that cross, right? And I say, God, I thank you. I accept that. I don't know what else to do but say that counts for me. Okay, I can't make it on my own. I need Jesus. Amen. So if you have a decision to make, you're welcome to come up, or you can speak to me later as Sally leads us in a song.
Let's all.